I want to call the BFJ Business Finance Justice Committee to order now. Time now is 6:30. At this time, we'll have Adam and John.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We just thank everybody that's here, Lord, and give us wisdom to do the business of the nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Next order of business is roll call by Gacy.
Pete Beaver.
Present.
Randall Hicks.
Present.
David Hill.
Present.
Robert Huff.
Present.
Adam Jones.
Present.
Chairman, I got 5 present, 0 absent.
Yeah, 5 present, 0 absent, constitute a quorum. Any business conducted not be official. Moving on down the agenda is approval of minutes of November 10th. Line 16. Okay. And also, need to reflect the minutes to Mr. Representative Adam Jones just show up a few minutes late. Any other corrections? Motion made to approve with the corrections. Second. Okay. Roll call.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Now down to order of business is TR-16-198. A proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Andrew Uten, is that right?
Uh-huh.
To serve on the Gaming Operations Authority Board. Sponsor is Dodie Marnett.
Let's make a motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Second made. Floor is open for discussion.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Uten is here to tell you anything about himself or answer questions or whatever the committee desires. So, however you guys want to proceed, he's also available for Tuesday night at planning session for a full council session as well.
Motion carries. Any questions?
I just make a motion to forward on to full council.
Second.
Okay, take the first motion off. And I guess there'll be a motion to forward for the full council, so there'll be questions to you at the planning session on next Tuesday night.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
And 4 in favor, none against. That motion has been approved. Thank you. So next Tuesday at 6:30.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is TR-16-199. A proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation not confirming the nomination of Elijah McIntosh to serve as the Secretary of the Nation and Commerce for the Muskogee Creek Nation.
Motion to pass.
There a second?
Second.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, committee. Mr. McIntosh as well is here tonight to answer any questions or if you guys wanted to have him tell anything about himself, then he will be available at pre-agenda on
planning
Saturday.
Session. Planning. He said, you told me earlier he can do planning. Said.
No.
No.
Oh.
Mr. McIntosh said pre-agenda was
I'm sorry, okay, I apologize. Okay.
Mr. Uten said planning session.
Okay, I got confused. Okay, sorry.
But
you.
Mr. McIntosh can also be available at pre-agenda on Saturday at 17.
Okay.
For a full council.
Questions here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, they want to make a motion to move forward. They're second to that?
Second.
Move forward recommendation. Okay. Mr. McIntosh, you'll be questioned at the pre-agenda. On the 17th. Okay. Roll call, please.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Have 4 in favor, none against. That's been approved. Moving on down the agenda is TR-16-200. A proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board, Joy B, to execute a lease agreement and an advance addendum with Planning Gaming Ventures, LLC. Motion do pass.
Second.
Second.
Sure, this is Gaming Capital Group. They provide a plenty of different machines. They can get them from any vendor. We have a good rep share with them. It's 82.5, 17 and a half. So that's a 5-year agreement that we're trying to lock in with you guys tonight. And there's a separate agreement too, which is an advance addendum, which we're going to increase our gaming count with them in return for that. So 500 games, $5 million over 5 years, so we get to recognize $1 million of the revenue per year from this transaction. So we tried to mirror these two addendums, the addendum and the contract together, to make it more parallel with each other.
Okay. Any questions for Andy? No, there are no questions. Roll call, please.
David Hill.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Chairman, got 4 in favor, 0 against.
And 4 in favor, 9 against. That's been approved. Next on the agenda is TR-16-201, a proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board to execute an agreement with Tiger Law PLLC for the provision of legal services to Julie B. Motion to pass.
Second.
Here, second.
Second.
Any questions for Jan? No, Chris?
The GOAB has been very satisfied with the representation that Ms. Tiger has provided our board. She has decided to go out on her own and dedicate her practice entirely to Indian law and gaming. And we would like for the BFPJ to pass this particular legislation, and that way we can execute the contract with Jan and her firm.
Any questions? Questions? Hearing no questions, roll call, please.
David Hill.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, and I guess that's been approved. Next on the agenda is TR-16-202, a proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board to execute an in-building radio broadcast agreement with Verizon.
Motion due pass.
Second.
And Jeff?
I'll refer to Jeff on this piece of legislation. Explanation.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. So this is for us to be able to bring Verizon signal inside of our facility. Right now, if you've ever been to the River Spirit, you'll notice that there's a lot of dead spots throughout the facility. So we'd be placing antennas throughout the facility, and this would allow us to pipe their signal into our structures.
Okay. Any questions for Jeff? Pete? David?
No.
Anybody else? Any other questions? Okay. Jeff?
Jeff, on the term and termination, this agreement is for 5 years with the 4 automatic 5-year renewal terms.
It's pretty standard with the carriers to package it like that.
You guys are okay with that as well?
Yes, as long as I'm assuming that there's a breach in some sort of customer service or maintenance or something like that, I'm sure there should be an out in there somewhere.
Jeff, is it 30-day out? Yes. Is it 30-day out? Yes. 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 A cover resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board to execute a 5-year gaming industry TIF compliance agreement with Internal Revenue Service. Motion due pass. Here, second.
Second.
There needs to be an amendment. And it needs to be, instead of a 5-year, it should be a 3-year agreement. So do you hear a motion to make it a 3-year agreement?
Make a motion to change it to 3-year agreement.
And also within that agreement amendment, we'll go ahead and make, I'll do the next one. 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. And also, there's also a new agreement, revised agreement that we want to replace the old agreement with. So that's just being, so we'll be approving the new revised agreement also. And that revised agreement, does that just change?
So the revised agreement are just changes of the way that some of the descriptions were worded. So for instance, I think one of the descriptions is housekeeping, and it's been changed to room attendant. There's another room for a bell attendant, actually was changed to bell person. There were just certain things that weren't politically correct that were changed, and so now they're in the new agreement, and so I was just switching them out. JV did approve that today. As far as the regular compliance agreement, you guys have approved these in the past, and recently you probably remember an extension that we done. It's just it's between the employer and the IRS to make sure that we do a standard rate for the tipped employees. And this is good for them in that they're not having to report their tips on their own and having to deal with all the compliance. This helps them when they're going to go buy a car. It helps them if they're to get audited, that we have kept records of that, just showing what the tips were, and then it was kind of across the board. This is what all casinos use in the gaming industry.
Okay, this is vote is for the amendment to change it from 5 years to 3 years.
Who made the motion?
David. Randall. Roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against for the amendment. Now I'm back to the main motion as amended. Roll call.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against. That must have been approved. Next on the agenda is NCA 16-201, a law of the Muskogee Creek Nation amending MCN State Title 36, Section 3-107, entitled Special Fees for Veterans, and motions to accept the substitute bill.
Make a motion to pass.
For the substitute bill.
Substitute bill.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Sponsor is James Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. What this is doing is amending the Title 36 to allow the widow or widower of a veteran, Creek veteran, to continue to have the Creek tag and registration fees in place. Question was asked, you know, if they're non-Creek, well, they're not entitled to the Creek tag anyway. So,
okay.
I have a lady from the tag office if you want.
Do you have any questions? Any questions, Pete?
No.
David?
Any
questions? I'm hearing no questions. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against. That message has been approved. Next on the agenda is NCA 16-202. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation for the Muskogee Creek Nation Office of Attorney General.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass. A second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Hicks is a sponsor.
At this time, I'd like to give Mr. Dillinger a few minutes.
Kevin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you with our request. I think along with the legislation was a letter that I just submitted to the principal chief, kind of explaining the situation within the Office of the Attorney General. This year we only appropriated $25,000 for litigation expenses. I believe last year that budget was $200,000, so we cut it by $175,000. And unfortunately we've been involved here recently with the case from the attorneys that were involved in the Jewel case, trying to claim attorney's fees back from the nation for what limited work they did, and our position is, you know, they're not entitled to that. So we've they filed that matter in D.C. Circuit Court, and we had to hire outside counsel because we're not licensed to practice in D.C. To file two briefs in the matter. It's been fully briefed at this moment. We're just waiting to get a response back, but that took up a lot of We only had about 14 days to turn around and get a response filed, so we had to get all the information we had to this attorney in D.C. who turned around and spent a lot of time getting the two responses ready for us. And so that has eaten up probably, I think, our CEBA report right now, 95% of that line item has been utilized at the moment. So if we have to go to oral argument or move anything else comes up with respect to litigation to the nation, we have no funds to cover that. So okay. I have asked for $150,000 with the hope that I wouldn't have to come back again or in the future. So that's why that amount has been requested.
Okay. Any questions?
They provided this put funding source.
It's
going to
be interest on
any other questions?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Bear case.
Well, the Bear case falls under the Legal Services Department budget, and so we still have funds available to take care of. Those are funds we utilize for citizens, for services, for probates, guardianships, wills, and then land issues to protect restricted property of individual citizens. So we still have funds in that for that.
Yeah. Any other questions? Pete, questions?
No questions.
David?
No.
Larry? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Hicks. Sponsoring.
Next on the agenda is NCA 16-203, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation repealing NCA Title 16, Chapter 9, entitled Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Employment Rights Office Act, and replacing it with new Chapter 9 entitled Muscogee Creek Nation Contracting and Employment Support Act under the Secretary of the Nation and Commerce. What's your motion?
Motion to pass.
Here, second? Second. Any questions?
Chief,
no, I can ask if you want a question. David, any friends? No. Kevin here, probably too. Any questions on? The this law here basically replaces Terrell, and I sent the law, this piece of legislation to Zeke, just get his opinion about it in terms of how does it keep the meat of the Terrell law, and I'll read what Zeke wrote back to us, okay? Basically, it says, overall, yes, I think it keeps the meat intent behind what Terrell was supposed to do, which in my opinion was getting tribal citizens, tribally owned businesses to the front for work done within the jurisdiction of the nation. The fees and taxes are gone, which was a big hang-up. Although the work permits for employers who choose non-natives or those qualified citizens in the job bank, but I think it's reasonable, which is $25 per person a day also. So basically this law of replacement really does change, does take care of what we want the intent of the Terrell was going to be. I think the biggest part was maybe the Terrell name itself, but they in order to make it work, I think they will be changed the name to be what it is now. So. Any questions? David? Question? Pete?
One question. Andrew, does this suit or for the intent of your program, have you had any changes or anything that?
I haven't had the opportunity to actually view the bill yet, so I couldn't say yes or no.
Thanks.
Questions? No questions or roll call, please? Oh, sorry.
So this bill creates a new office, right?
No.
So what's...
They just, well, it's basically going to be a department under State of Commerce and the Secretary of Nation.
So we're taking Terra away, but we're not creating a new office? We're not creating a new place for instead of Terra? What I'm asking is, where are the Terra people going to go?
They'll go through the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of the State.
But didn't the Act create another office? So refer to another.
It basically, it's not gonna be created like the tier office we have now. They want to make it different, and it's basically gonna report directly to the Secretary of Commerce and have an individual in charge of that. Basically, maybe if I was gonna be Andrew Stacey or not, I don't know. That's falls under the chief's direction.
And so so they will be responsible for everything that says.
Yes,
that, right?
That's correct.
Even the fines or even the fees.
Yeah, I believe there's a committee that's going to be set up to make sure that was taken care of correctly. A review board.
Has the
potentially new Secretary of the Nation of Commerce? Have they seen this new?
I can't tell you that. That's you have to ask Chief. I don't know. Anything else? Hearing none, roll call please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, none against. That motion has been approved. Next on the agenda is NCA 16-205. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the Live Horse Administration fiscal year 2017 budget. Sponsor is Rupert Scott. I'm sorry.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Here a second. Here a second.
Second
made. Okay. Floor is open for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Myself and Chief Hopkins has had a conversation about the increase in facilities and mainly Margaritaville. It's so large now that these changes have increased the responsibility of the Life Force Police Department. And Chief Hopkins said that he needs a special appropriation to accommodate these changes. And so Chief Hawkins is here, so if you have any questions, then I'm sure he'd be glad to answer for you. Chief?
Questions? Big questions?
No.
David? Questions?
Mr. Hawkins?
Yes, sir.
This request that you have presented for us, this is strictly hiring for the Margaritaville, correct?
Yes, sir. Strictly. Yes, sir. We're going to be placing officers that will be able to provide the services that we need for that expansion there. This is something that we've been working on since January. And just to be quite frank with you, I mean, once Margaritaville was signed into place and the ground was going to be broke on it, and we started on the Life Force end, that we started, budgeting for this so that when the doors did open, we were ready to go. Unfortunately, we didn't have that. We took it in January from ground zero where we had nothing in place and have been working all the way up to this point trying to, get everything in place to accommodate everything that's going to be going on up there. And I know it's a substantial amount, what the amount on it is, but this is the initial setup. That's, being able to hire officers, equip them with, uniforms and weapons and vests and of course, vehicles, and just the other number of items that's going to come with trying to get these guys up to where they need to be. Something that we're also going to be looking at in the future is actually getting we're hoping to have a police department built, itself. Right now, we're all being housed in a small room that Jerry Floyd was able to locate for us inside the casino, but we're hoping that at some point, maybe on some of that property that is in trust over there, that we can get something, built that will be, appropriately, an appropriate size to demand our department.
Okay.
On your proposed salary plan you have here, the salary range you have, $28,000 to $36,900, and you're starting in on the high end. Is that what you're doing?
Well, the officer, on the officer salaries, I mean, it's going to depend on, of course, we look at the creeks and natives, that kind of figures into where your salary range will come in at, education, training, certification. If we have to send an officer to, receive his certification, then of course we're going to come in on a low end, but if they are, veterans and all the other things that I just mentioned to you, then it's going to, they're going to come in at another rate.
Okay. Did you look at this? Did you submit it or?
I have it right here. Is this the one that you're looking at?
third one on the proposed salary.
Third one?
Third, fourth, fifth one.
28309, that was
on the proposed salary.
On the proposed, I'm sorry.
Is that a typo or is that?
You need a second one,
right? We have come in on a high end on it, but that's reason being, like I said, this is going to be your flexible.
Should they all be the same rate?
Right, they would be. Yeah, I'm seeing what you're saying. Everything. It's whenever we did come in with this, it was on the high end of our scale. But like I said, it's going to be a.
I don't
think
you're
calling.
One thing, they've been working on this since January, and the number originally was 3.1, and you dropped it down to 1.7, which is 1.4 less, right? Than the original.
We have, we were originally going to come in whenever we did our comprehensive budget, and talk about the proposal. It was 3.4 million, I believe, is what we were going to ask for. We're talking to the controller's office, knowing that the appropriation for $3 million is just not fair.
Right.
We were looking at bringing in 20 officers, full equipment, just like what we have here, but it's just not feasible for $3.4 million at this time.
Right.
So what we had discussed with the in the controller's office is that if we could cut it in half, then maybe at some point in the future, in another quarter or something, maybe come in and bring up the other part of the proposal to obtain the remainder of what we were asking for.
That's my other question. Since we're coming on January and we've got a quarter already done, do you think this budget needs to be lessened that one quarter? I mean, see what I'm saying? We're almost a quarter past the year, so you see what I'm saying? That we lessen it just to get it started, or just a suggestion there? Right now, these guys are coming in at a full salary for a full year. We're only going to be, 9 months worth.
Right.
Before we budget in again.
Right. We're coming in a quarter under already. So,
okay.
It's going to
all right.
David?
I got a question on the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10, so that'd be one per person.
Yes.
Didn't we just get through donating vehicles?
What we have, whenever we got the new fleet in, of course, we're replacing our old units. And we have five that are sitting that we have pulled that have lower miles on it that are in real good shape that we can use either as a pool or give to incoming officers that would be coming in. The other ones that we have are basically nickel and diamonds. I mean, if they've got high miles, 120, anywhere from 120 to 170,000 miles on them. So they're starting to, the wear and tear on them is starting to really, dig into the maintenance budget of that. So, by being able to purchase, the new vehicles on top of it, we can donate the ones that are basically going to be taken out of service. And that's what we do is, donate to these agencies that their budgets won't allow them to get something. And we're looking, when we donate a car, we're looking at those that we may be commissioned with. It's what we look at, but not necessarily the case. We have some agencies that are really hurting for vehicles, and if we are able to help them, we do. But bringing a new vehicle, at least we know that, you know, they're going to be, you know, in running condition for a good time. Like these old ones, they've been on the road since, oh gosh, probably 2013. You know, 2000, end of 2012, start of 2013. So,
Mr. Chairman,
hang on a minute. No,
sir.
Okay.
What I want to also make mention of is the cars that we do have, the ones that we are pulling offline at this moment, they're also going to be utilized by our reserve program. Our reserve program numbers are slowly rising. Right now we have about 12 reserve officers, so they augment what we have on the road. So almost all of these officers are already certified, CLEAT certified, so they're able to go out on the road, and so obviously they're going to need vehicles as well. So part of the fleet that we have are specific for them, but also they use the full cars in case we need to pull off one of our newer vehicles for maintenance or whatever. They'll have a vehicle to get into as well.
Pete,
Mr. Hawkins, excuse me. I guess you noticed the state is limit their state highway patrol to 100 miles a day.
Yes, sir.
Is there any initiative for us to limit our travel budget? No matter.
You know, it can be done. I mean, just in, you know, the vast area that we are in, you know, we're covering 4,800 square miles. You know, I mean, it's officers that are, you know, going from, you know, anywhere from drone light to you follow, you know.
Well, each of your deputies, they're assigned a certain area, though.
They are assigned. Well, what we have now is a northern and southern district to try to give us better numbers. I mean, it's definitely going to be a plus instead of having, and they're still going to be in their districts. You know, we just cut it in half, you know, on north and south, but we have officers that are going to be patrolling in those areas. So as for miles by it, I'm not sure exactly what our mileage is once we, you know, on a patrol, but you know, like highway patrols, you know, they have them pretty well, you know, set and running traffic, you know, most of the time. we wind up sitting and we become reactionary, you know, just taking calls and then not being able to get out and get, you know, to our properties and our other areas that we need to be in. Now, can we do it? Yeah, we probably cut back on it, you know, on the amount of drive time, but just where, you know, where officers may be at and going from place to place, I mean, it can fluctuate. You know, some officers will get, you know, 100 miles or more on their car shift, and some don't. You know, just depend on where they're at. So
one of the things that we're also looking at is, in the past, we've always had the complaint that, well, they didn't see us enough. If we're stationed in one spot, they're not going to see us, and thus they think, well, we're not out there. We're actually out there, but it just behooves us to be seen as much as possible as we go through these communities, as we go through. And by limiting us within a certain mileage, we're not going to, our citizens aren't going to see us, and again, it's going to come back for our words, our light words, when we need them. Like the Chief said, we become more reactionary rather than already being there.
Anything else? My question, you know, it's hard. You said these 10 guys will be dedicated to the casino only, right?
Well, they're going to be up at the casino, but they are also going to be, you know, if we're running short on North Division officers, you know, like if we have somebody out on training or annual or sick or whatever, then they will have to know of that area, of that district that they're in, so that if we have to pull one out to help patrol an area or take a call, they'll be able to, but they will be stationed up. We'll have officers stationed up.
Will that be like a three shifts with three guys on each? I mean,
we will have three shifts and run, you know, just like what we do out here.
You have three guys on each one of these three guys on each shift, or what?
As of right now, with our north officers that we have.
Well, what I'm getting is that the question posted earlier was this was strictly for the Margaritaville Casino, and that's how I was answering your question. Now you're saying it's not just for that, it's just for the northern part. And so I was trying to say, if you're going to station three guys and an 8-hour shift, you know, restricted
for. We will have guys that will be strictly at the casino. You know, that's what I'm saying is that once we get the manpower in place and able to have people, we'll have the, each shift will be covered some, you know, at that casino all the time. You know, we will have anywhere from, you know.
Will be the same guys dedicated there all the time or what? Reason I get is that, you know, there's if you have these guys stationed there at River Casino, do we need to buy 10 new cars? Do we just leave 3 cars there and they just, you know, take over when they need the cars at that station there?
I understand what you're saying. What that does, I mean, we're not just you know, inside, and I understand that, you know, having 3 there, we're gonna have more than 3 on that shift, okay? But like I said, being able to, you know, being able to move, you know, outside, inside, you know, but it's also commissioned with City of Tulsa, you know. I mean, if they're calling for something for our assistance, then of course we're gonna break loose from the casino and go and assist them. And where that gets, you know, falls into play also is, you know, you have officers that will be able to, you know, have a car, go from the house to work, and then in turn, you know, going back home. But if you just give them 3 cars and everything, they'll be, you know, personal vehicles be coming up and everything. That's gonna be a question. You know, also, what happens if we, you know, they're on their way home, we have something that happens, and, you know, they're in a personal vehicle, they're not gonna be able to respond to that on an emergency basis. You know, I mean, we kind of just look at the overall picture. Okay.
Another question: have you talked to the Gaming Board and the staff at Whisper how you're going to be stationed and how to coordinate what they're doing there already with the security, and then what you do with them for the new additional people coming in?
We have. I talked with the security chief of their name's David Cook,
okay. And
we communicate quite well as to, you know, how we work with the security up there, and you know, they know that, you know, we've had issues in the past and everything, but since then, you know, we got a good working relationship with it. We're on the same page with everything. You know, they know where we are, they know what, you know, if we get into something, how we assist each other. You know, so yeah, they're on the loop with everything we're doing.
Okay. You on the maintenance? Does our department do that? Our fleet, or who does the maintenance on all the vehicles?
We have different vendors, you know, such as when we get tires or fleet is starting to do a lot more. You know, if we have tire issues or alignment issues or, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, when we go and, you know, purchase, you know, our tires and everything, we have, you know, our vendors that we, you know, different companies that we have POs with, that we, you know, have our maintenance with. Oil changes, GSA will do most of our oil changes. There are times when they don't, you know, like if you have an officer that's up north with our fuel man system and everything, you know, like Jiffy Lube, you know, if we have to have an emergency oil change or something quick, we can go through them and use the fuel man through that. But then we have different companies that do our vehicle maintenance, and GSA does quite a bit of it.
Okay. One thing about the maintenance is also, it's not just the oil and tires, but it's also maintenance on, sometimes lights burn out. There's things that our fleet aren't equipped to handle because they just don't have that knowledge of how to, you know, what's wrong
all with the
lights, or the high mileage vehicle, you know, just certain things that they can't handle. And I know they had a mechanic at one point who was doing really well. We were able to take a lot of our, like, changing brakes and some of the smaller issues to them. And so when they do have, we utilize them as much as we possibly can.
Now, the last question I got, and you know where I'm going with this. I know Fleet, I think last year, started installing them things, kind of like the GPS, where it monitors how fast they're going, where they're going, how long the vehicle's been sitting, idling, whatever. Are they going to install, will Line Horse be installed with that?
One of the things that that I'm looking at, and I've already spoken with, we can actually put a GPS within the radios that are in the car. There's going to be some installation required as far as antenna, another program that would go into the pretty much do the same thing. but it would be a program that would be specific for LIBOR. So the only one who would be able to really monitor them, if you will, would be us.
Oh, do we have, if we request access, because I know I've done that last year through Fleet to get a record. I mean, it told us who was speeding, and, you know, who had a wreck, who hit something, and without our knowledge of it, are we going to be able to ask, request the same information?
Of course. We're open anytime anyone wants, any council person or any person wants to come down and visit and ask questions. We're pretty much open. I'm obviously case files, stuff like that, or but anything along those lines, we'd be happy to either that in the answer or you know, whatever you require.
What funding source?
Mr. Hawkins, Mr. Hill, Representative Hill asked about the vehicles that were donated. How many did we donate?
Since our new fleet came in?
Yes.
Is there one in particular or a certain place that was particular that you're...
No, I just want to know the total that we actually donated.
I would have to say around 7 or 8.
7 or 8.
And we've also helped out such as there's been a couple non-law enforcement, a couple of search and rescues that we've given trucks out to. Obviously, they're all within our jurisdiction, but we recently gave one to Holdenville PD, one to. Two Morris, and we still have a list, and we're still working on some. But we've given at least 7 or 8 out already.
Yeah. Just curiosity, y'all just do that, or do you get approval to give them out?
We go through GSA, so everything they have to provide us with all the transfer papers, everything, and we've also transferred. I pick up trucks to GSA for the use of the Huron Trust number 5 on the complex.
Okay.
So there is a process that we follow, it, so that they're given out accordingly.
And then you, Mr. Hawkins, you said that these vehicles had about 130,000 miles.
Yeah, well, the ones that we have sitting in the schools have low miles, you know, lower miles on them. The ones that
we don't have 500.
They're roughly, you know, anywhere between 120 to 170,000.
Okay, just calculating here. I went with 130,000 that you gave.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you go 12 months at that, you're looking at 10-11,000 miles a month.
How many miles you got?
You go 2 years, you're looking at 5,000. I don't know, to me that doesn't seem like a lot of miles for a vehicle.
Well, you're not just looking at the mileage, you're looking at the wear and tear of it. One of the things to take consideration, have you ever gone back road down south, you know, the ruts, and it wears and tears on the vehicle. The stopping, the turning, the stopping, and, you know, heavy braking and such, that can wear on it when you kind of get to a call. So those are other things that we take into consideration, not just the mileage, but the wear and tear on the vehicles themselves.
I had a question. All right. We're at 10 officers, right? And how many vehicles are you going to buy? 10 new vehicles? 10?
10 vehicles.
How much do those vehicles run per unit? On average, about
39,000.
32,000. So if you knock that vehicle in half, you've got 5 sitting in stock. You only get less than that. I think that's what everybody's going and just trying to. And one thing I'd like to see more than anything, I know you brought it up too, is that you want to serve that area, but for us to do this, is what we're trying to do is serve the casino more than anything and make sure that protection is there at the casino. Because later on,
we're going to build that program up. We're a light horse department, so we can see others. But right now, we need to focus on the casino. So, you would think, I mean, I know that's what you're trying to do.
Make sure that law enforcement presence there, the number of people
exactly. Increase
coming in there. I mean, when they see a law enforcement presence, you know,
they
feel a lot safer. Plus, you know, with the hotel coming in there, and with the we've already had issues up there. So.
Well, what I'm saying is if Tulsa calls, so be it. But our main priority is the casino.
Right.
You know, it's not to go help Tulsa. Tulsa's got 800. You know, officers, we're struggling, sir.
They're at all times.
Right, exactly.
Also, they're available to come on and help us, too. So.
But I would just want to make sure our priority would be just
our
casino, because that's why we're trying to come up with money to fix this. And I know that's where representatives are looking at. We're going to come up with brand new units and trying to, why are we giving all these cars away? And we've done that in the past for different departments, and it's not because we just give cars away. They're usually abused or cars that's not very good anymore, and they're glad to get what we give away. But is there any way that you could lessen that to make it possibly pass tonight?
I'm on the vehicle side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we could, you know. we have to cut back on that, but, you know, eventually, you know, some of the road, you know, it'll be and something that, you know, I'm not what may occur over Fountainhead, you know, if that comes into play. And of course, that's not a discussion right now, but if at one point comes into play, then we'll have to do this all over again. And, you know, it sure won't be, you know, 8, 9, 10 months prior to opening. I mean, we'll start now and be able to move this from point A to, you know, all the way to the end. But, we can look at cutting back on some things. Our priority on business going is make sure we get the personnel that we need.
Well, what I'm asking is if we pass this night, tonight, for council, can you come back with a lesser number that these guys can discuss too as well?
I believe it would be.
That's why.
One last question, yes, sir. On that, is there any question about the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
$32,000 purchase one. Is that equipped with all the lights, or is that just the vehicle itself?
That's the vehicle itself. Now, something that we've been looking into from where we purchased our vehicles from is that there's a place out there that can actually, we can buy the vehicle and then they can light it, sticker it, the whole nine yards for us. It will cost a little bit more, but if we were able to do that from that place, it would actually cut back on where, you know, when we have to go and order the lights and consoles and radios, the whole nine yards that we have to put into the car from just having a screen car that we're sitting on, you know, sitting on our lot, and then having to take it and get it tricked out. If we had it done in one place, it would probably cut back on expense on that.
So what would the cost be for that?
What do we look at today?
You have to forgive me, I don't remember. I've been looking at so many numbers, I don't remember that particular number, but it was going to come in cheaper than doing it piecemeal. So getting it in that one, and it's out of Oklahoma City. They actually did the same cars, the vehicles for the Sheriff's Department here, and they said the same thing. It came in a lot cheaper to get it at one shop. So, like I said, forgive me, I don't remember the number right off of my head.
Ballpark figure?
I would just a good guesstimation, probably about 39.
Yeah, I would say probably around
40. Radios, stickers, everything that you need.
Everything. And we've already been in contact with them. So they're pretty much aware of what we were asking for. And we actually received a quote for that.
Yep. Any questions? You had mentioned earlier that, as Representative Hicks had mentioned, that the salary should have been all the same. That's actually going to change your amount now.
instead of 397, 640, I'm coming up with 399, 290. Yeah. I mean, if I had all this correctly, the total amount's correct, but if you, if it's changed to 36,941, the amount's going to be higher. I don't know, Robin, you may. Yeah, we need to change that total. Oh, you want to calculate that? You want to calculate it? Where am I calculating? I run out of fingers. I don't know, I'll calculate it. I didn't have a phone. Any other questions? Don't get a question.
I just had a comment that I spoke with Tony Fish earlier tonight, and the reintegration bill is going to be postponed. And whenever he comes back, he's going to come back with increments. It's not going to be all at one time, because there are going to be things they need, but there are some things they can do down the road. So
there's going to be additional funding beyond what we have already.
Right, so that 787 that is showing up in funding source bills isn't going to be there whenever we get to the floor.
Well, but on the proposal appropriations, it only shows half in there. It didn't show the full 787, so.
Oh, good. Okay. But I was just letting you know that the whole thing wasn't going to be.
Okay. Any other questions? Wait for you want to amend that? Yeah, the new balance would be 1,788,684 for the total budget transfer.
Oh, that's delicious.
Should be 1,788,684. Don't make that, man. Change the number. Chairman, make a motion to amend the amount, section 3 and 4, to 1,788,684. Hear a second on that?
Second.
And that's due to the salary change. So, here, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
That's 4 in favor on the amendment. Now, back to the main motion as amended. Any other questions? Hearing none, roll call, please. The main motion is amended.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
No.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 1 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor, 1 against. That motion has been approved. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Hawkins, can you send a correct amount, budget amount over? With the correct salary amount to her? Send the correct one over here. Okay. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is NCA 16-206. A law of the Muskogee Nation amending MCNCA Title 17, Chapter 9, entitled Muskogee Loan Fund Board. Sponsor is Randall Hicks.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Here, second.
Second.
Portable for discussion.
Chairman, I'll give Mr. Dillinger a few minutes to discuss this.
Chairman, I'll give this to me.
Sure.
Thank you. These are two amendments that are being proposed by the Muskogee Loan Board. I think they, as a group, have already passed them. They had requested our office to work on these for them, and then they turned around and passed them. So now they are coming, obviously, back to the council for approval. The first one deals with the loan policy for the loan fund. When the law was originally written for the loan fund, there was an entire process in here for a notice and comment period to take place with respect to the loan fund. But after speaking further with the loan board, which the majority, I think everyone on the board actually is in the banking industry, loan officers, they had informed us that usually loan policies are very confidential information within a bank and not something that the general public is aware of. And so, one, they asked us they were willing to allow the chief, second chief, the national council members, our office to be able to view that and make sure everything looks okay to us, since, you know, the funds are appropriated by the council, and there needs to be that check and balance, I think, by the council to make sure they're satisfied with this loan policy. But the other problem with the original legislation was that it required a 60-day comment period, and that is now would put the loan fund back 60-plus days, probably now around 90 days before they can start making loans. So they have asked for this amendment to do away with the comment and notice period. The actual loan policy will be available at any time for the individuals listed here. Again, the council, the chief, the second chief, the secretary of the nation, the attorney general's office to take a look at that loan policy. But it's not going to require this lengthy notice and comment period. So that's the first amendment. It's going to speed some things up. I believe there are citizens ready who have been vetted and are ready to receive loans from the CDFI and the loan board. And so in order to be able to speed that process up and start that process, they had requested this provision be amended. So in a nutshell, we've done away with the notice and comment period of 60 days. And the loan policy is there, is ready to be utilized, and it'll help speed the process up for citizens to be eligible and to be able to apply for loans. So that's the First Amendment. And then under Section 3, the Second Amendment proposed by this law is dealing with reference to the Open Meetings Act, which the nation has. And the way the law is written at the moment, it is, I think it's written much stronger than is needed and is necessary. It states that a violation of the Open Meetings Act will result in a criminal offense punishable by up to 6 months in imprisonment and a $500 fine and expulsion and banishment from the nation's territory. So I think when you look at our Open Meetings Act, which is referenced here, Title 37, Section 5-101 at SEC, it really states that a violation of the open meetings policy, you know, there are provisions in there that state what has to take place in an open meeting. Violation of that is really just the result of any action taken is null and void. So this was kind of, I think this was written from a perspective of probably something more along a city manager or city management policy would have in place, not necessarily an Open Meetings Act for the nation, and it was a little bit stronger than what our Open Meetings Act requires. So the other thing I think the loan fund had a problem with was that it was a real deterrent for anyone to want to come and be on the board because they didn't want to be thrown in jail and fined and expelled from our territory. So they've asked that we just make this consistent with our Open Meetings Act, and so that's what the amendment does.
Okay.
So.
Any questions? Hearing none, roll call please.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 9 against. That's been approved. Thank you. Next on the agenda is a referred legislation.
Mr.
Are these all, Linda, are these all interest and permanent fund?
Yes, sir. Okay. NCA 16-304 for the renovation project. My understanding is that $336,000 approximately will come out of capital improvement.
Okay. Okay. And the other ones, the other two were interest and permanent? Okay. Okay, the funding source for NCA 16-195 and 16-199 are interest and permanent fund, and 16-204 is the capital improvements fund. Do I hear a motion to approve the funding sources as presented?
Motion to approve.
And a second? Okay, roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Thank you. Next on the agenda is other business. Any other business? Hearing none. Any announcements? Any announcements? None. Do I hear motion to adjourn?
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
This time we'll have David, give us a benediction, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. I ask that you be with each and every one. Give us safe travels to our home. Thank you for watching over us during the holiday season, Father. We ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.